and I are going to record, so y'all go ahead and shut the door.
Will you push me on a swing?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah, let's go.
Welcome to Vintage Answers. This week we get advice on how to handle teenagers that step over the line.
Okay, dear Michael and Debbie, we have been so blessed to be learning the principles that you have been sharing with us through your books, especially To Train Up a Child. We have been ordering quantities of this book and have been sharing it and the principles with a number of families in our church. The result is the beginning of a revival of family within our fellowship. The heart of the fathers is being turned toward the children, and we hope to soon see the heart of the children being turned toward their fathers. One area that we are struggling with, however, is the fact that several families have early to mid-teens where early discipline and training were not properly applied. As the children have entered their teen years, the parents have become more and more distant and permissive. There is great resistance to mom and dad, and even some rebellion showing up as these teens attempt to display their independence. My wife and I are seeking God as to how to counsel these hurting families. We believe that it is not too late for them to get things straightened out. We believe they need to confess to the children their failures to date and explain how they understand the importance of firm, loving discipline. We believe they need to establish well-defined boundaries and take an uncompromising stand to uphold those standards at all costs. We know that in doing so, there will be quickly come that great confrontation, the conflict of wills. We believe that when that occurs, it is crucial that mom and dad will win the conflict. The question we are struggling with and would greatly appreciate in your counsel is what kind of consequences is appropriate for a teenager when they step over the line. Coming short of saying it directly, we have strongly implied in several cases that the rod be used. In these cases, they have tried things like grounding them from outside activities and so forth, and really haven't gotten anywhere. We believe they need to do something immediate and significant. However, we're just not sure about the wisdom of using a paddle on a 14-year-old child.
All right. This is so common, and it's so rife with possibilities. You know, we've often said the best time to train a child is before 1 year old, and by the time they're 2.5, over half of their training has been done. By the time a child gets 4 or 5, if you have maintained good control and you've trained well, then you can pretty well be confident that 90% of the training is behind you. It's over with. And by the time a child gets 12 or 13, you can just about shut your training book. There's not much left in terms of child training. Now, there's still a matter of relationship, just as a husband and a wife can grow together, or two men or three or four men in a prayer group can relate to one another and grow together. All of us can minister to each other as adults, and there's still plenty of room for growth. But there comes a point when that growth is not something enforced upon us from without, but it's something that springs from within when we make a decision that we have a need and we want to grow. And when a child gets 13 or 14, 15, 16, it depends on the child. Some children mature 3 or 4 years behind another child. But by the time a child gets up around that age, at the time they go through puberty or a little before or maybe a little after, right about that time, the child comes to a full knowledge of good and evil, comes to a full awareness of themselves as an individual, a distinct person. And at that point, it's natural for a child to take control of his own life. It's natural for him to become an individual, distinct, in a sense, separate from the family, separate from all other beings on the earth, and to stand alone before God. And it wouldn't be natural for the child to continue to be emotionally, psychologically, physically dependent upon their parents. And so the power play is over with by the time a child gets that old. In other words, it's too late to put pressure on and say, you will do this or else. It's just too late for that. Now, there's a way in which a parent can without passion, can objectively bring pressure on a teenager, but you can't do it like you did when they were young. You said early to mid-teens. A child who's in their mid-teens, or an adult nearly who are in their mid-teens, that individual should be mature enough to be a parent, should be mature enough to be a mother or a father, should be mature enough to be counseling other people. And if they're not, then what you have is a terrible failure, terrible wreck. And the only way you're going to win that child, change that child, is through mutual consent. Now, you made a statement. You said you feel like the parents need to confess their failures. You're making that suggestion. It's a good suggestion, but the parents have to come to the place. Individual parents have to come to the place to where they feel, genuinely feel, understand, think, have an intellectual conviction that my child is as he is because I have failed. And when a child knows that, when a parent knows that, then with sincerity he can go to the child and he can say, look, we have learned some things since we raised you, and we have failed. We realize that some of your stubbornness and some of your hostility and some of your bitterness, we bred that into you. We bred the laziness and the indifference and the hostility, and we share fault. And so we don't want to do that with our smaller children. We want to make a change. We want to make a difference. And we want you to help us. We want you to help us raise and train these smaller children. We want you to have some input in this. So if you'll approach the child that way, as another human being, if you approach the child humbly rather than haughty and arrogant and with demands, then you're going to get a whole lot more compliance and a whole lot more participation. You said there's a conflict of wills. That's it exactly. The child now has a mature will, an early teen to a mid-teen now has a mature will. And you cannot, the parent's will cannot win over the child any more than the child's will can win over the parents, any more than your will can win over your neighbor's will. And so you have to solicit a response from the child, and the child has to comply with you willingly. Okay, you said what kind of consequences? Again, that's going to depend on the parents. It's going to depend on the child. It's going to depend on the relationship you have to that child. But let me start with the oldest teens. When a child gets up 17 or 18 years old, at that point it's too late to spank them, to deny them, to make them stay in their room, to do all those sorts of things. You have to reach a point to where you're willing to say, if you are not willing to keep the rules of this house, you can leave. And you do that without a lot of emotion. You do it like a landlord would do when he would say, if you're going to keep knocking the windows out, then move out. You've got to come to the place to where you can treat that child as an adult and say, listen, as long as you're in this house, you will pick up your clothes. You'll not scream at your mother. You'll not beat on your brothers and sisters. You'll not this and that. And give them a list of rules that are not invading their personal private space, but a list of house rules, rules that govern the social order. And that's not unreasonable. That should not create hostility. And then stick by your guns. In other words, say, if you're not going to go by these rules, then get out. And when a child gets old enough for you to run them out of the house, I guarantee you that they will either conform or leave, and you have to be willing to let them leave. But when a child's, say, 13 or 14 years old, then you just have to be firm. You have to have some house rules. You have to establish them. You have to say, you will do this, you will do this, and you will do that. And then if they don't comply, then all you can do is give them, without emotion, without a lot of stress, give them added workload. For instance, you can tell a child he's got to cut the grass, and if he doesn't cut the grass, then he cannot go and play ball on Saturday afternoon. And then you give him plenty of time to cut the grass. If he doesn't get the grass cut, then you don't take him to play ball. Something like that where you can win, where you can maintain control. When a child is small, the boundaries have a lot to do with attitude, have a lot to do with the spirit of the child. And as a child gets older, you have to turn loose of that spirit. You have to turn loose of the attitude. Because at that point, all you can really make demands on are physical circumstances that exist there within the home.
Well, that wraps up this week's archives. We hope that you found it as encouraging as we did. Don't forget to check out the specials at Cane Creek Corner.